veins. During my annual physical, I tell my doctor that I'm starting to gross out over how bulgy the veins on my hands are getting. "Look at them," I say. "They're like lounging blue sea worms." "It's normal," she says. "It just means you're old." She and I are the same age. "And it's summer, so you're warm and old." "But this seems really sudden," I tell her. "I just noticed them last week while I met with a woman at a dementia care home to try to get my husband's stepdad a room there." "Well, then, you were probably stressed. Fight or flight, and that whole deal. That makes veins stand out more. Also, warm weather last week, right?" "Okay, but last night I was watching Tiny House Hunters in our nice, cool living room. I was drinking root beer. I was not stressed, and my veins were still gross." "Then you're just old." I hold up my most offensive hand. "Look," I say, "some of the veins on this one form an H. Do you want to hear my husband's theory? He says our dead cat Hanky is trying to reach me." My husband did not theorize this. I did. I sometimes put a degree of separation between me and the things I throw into the mix. Though this is not my year for a pap smear, my doctor needs to check my ovaries. She inserts more than one, but less than five fingers way up into me. I gasp. "Relax," she says. "Go to your happy place." I sit up on the table when she's done with her hand puppeting and say, "Damn, it's like the morning after the prom." For my weeks-long back spasm, she says, "Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go home, find one of your husband's long, long tube socks, tie a knot in it, and bury it at the base of the oak tree at midnight," I say. "No, you're going to lie down on it to work the muscles in your back. Squirm around on it a while. It'll help." My husband cannot remember the name of the memory care home. The name is Brookdale, but he keeps calling it Briar Hatch. "That makes no sense," I tell him. "Think about it. Dementia patients walk down the hallway and suddenly a hatch opens in the floor and drops them into a bush of briars." "Yeah," he says. "Not great." Before Brookdale can let my stepdad-in-law, Bob, move in, he has to get over an awful infection, which calls for awful antibiotics. Bob has what a lot of people call bad veins. Nurses can't ever draw blood from them or insert an IV without a big production. Bob's veins know an interloper when they hear one coming. They hunker down in his arms, hiding from those who summon them to come out, wherever they are. A regular no-frills nurse tries to stick the IV needle in. She digs and digs as though the needle is a pickaxe and Bob's arm is a steep mountainside hiding a shimmering vein of opal. She is useless. Sure enough, someone has to call in the big kahuna of veins from a far corner of the hospital. This nurse knows things. She is a snake charmer, coaxing Bob's tired arm vein to stick its head out of the wicker basket long enough to be shish kebabbed. The antibiotics begin their work. Bob gets better, then worse, then better, then worse. My back spasm won't go away, even after four massages I couldn't afford and some unholy-looking writhing on the knotted-up tube sock. I go see my orthopedic doctor, who writes up an order for physical therapy. Before he can escape, I ask him about my veins. When you age, he says, everything you have gets stiff, leaky, and starts to fall apart. End of story. I forgot to mention that Bob is the nicest man I've ever known. When he was dating my husband's mom 35 years ago, Bob was too good to be true. Too kind. Too decent. People were skeptical. But he turned out to be the real deal. So imagine this nice man still going about his life, still mowing the yard, still drinking the cold water from the cup his wife brings him from the house, still waving at her as she keeps a close eye on him, still counting on her to fill in the gaps of his memory, towing his cloudy brain along like a barge that she tugboats down the river. Bob's final month was a long menu of rottenness. He was shuttled back and forth 11 times between the hospital and the nursing home. If you want to make a dementia patient worse, move them around from place to place like a hunted down witness for a murder trial. Bob went off the rails in the evenings, his confusion cooking up to a frenzy. The shadows in his room grew longer and more sinister, corners filled up with things only he could see. It didn't help when half a dozen nursing home people gathered around him, trying to talk him back into his bed. "Please don't arrest me," Bob cried. The nicest man any of us ever knew got so scared that he punched a pregnant CNA in the belly. Not hard, but still a punch. As the ambulance pulled away with Bob inside, headed back to the ER, the nursing home director said, "Please, you can't bring him back here." When laboratory mice were used to test certain theories about the human brain, they were dropped into tall cylindrical columns of water for what is known as a forced swim test. The researchers measured how long the mice would swim before realizing that they could neither touch the bottom nor climb out. Once they became aware of their situation, they would stop swimming and collapse into a forlorn float. It's impossible to pinpoint the exact day that Bob stopped knowing us. It was gradual, hidden somewhere between his fever and his infection and all the little moments of us trying to make him feel loved. We cleaned out all the Snickers from the vending machine, breaking off little chunks when he was able to eat. The hardest thing was when Bob wept. It was often during the last month. "Are those happy tears?" Bob's wife asked, and he said yes. But you could see decades of sadness, rivulets rolling off his chin. I started to understand the difference between crying and weeping. If crying is the shattering of glass or the doorbell ringing, weeping as a dog lost in a forest. Veins are good things, I tell myself. Bob would have been happy to have these simple, easy-access veins, H and all. They keep me alive. They're normal. The weather is warm. I'm just old. I ask my brain to be on my side, not to leave me until the very end. I try not to look at my hands. In the competition between Bob and the infection won. It wasn't even a good enough sport to let Bob play for best 2 out of 3. The doctor said it was time to take out all the IVs. They were only prolonging Bob's struggle. As decisions were made and needles were removed from punctures in his narrow, reluctant veins, Bob was elsewhere, in his deep sleep, already packed for the next world. He wasn't trying to touch bottom. He had no dreams of climbing out.